Last time we met, we were studying the book of Zechariah. We studied Haggai, and we studied Zechariah. And I mentioned to you, every time that we come together, Brother Fox allowed me to speak with you, is that we would study parts of Zechariah. We looked at Haggai chapter 1 and chapter 2, and Haggai and Zechariah, they both had the same ministry at the same time. So when you look at the both of them, they was prophesizing for the Lord about Judah and Jerusalem, about the captive who have been returning from exile. So we're going to dive again. One of the things that they prophesied at the same time, but they both had different message. Zechariah was prophesying about rebuilding the temple and the coming of the Messiah. Well, when Zechariah, he had 10 visions at the same time, all in one night. And his vision was concerning Christ, the Messiah. So once we get into it, you'll get a chance to see that all the time from the beginning, it has always been about Christ. It has always been about him. And we would dive into that. And I want to share something with you that I was sitting there thinking. It's a shame before God that Christians today, they don't want to tell the lost about Jesus. I wonder why. I don't know, is it because in our society they tell you don't mention Jesus or don't say anything about Jesus? Or I remember some time ago I was working a part-time job up in Ann Arbor, driving their daughter to rehab. And I said, well, I'm going to be praying for your family. I'll be praying for your daughter to get better. And once I got back to the office, my supervisor said to me, Lacey, I'm going to have to let you go. I went, what did I do? What did I do? Well, the people that you were taking to rehab, you mentioned Christ. You mentioned God. They didn't want to hear that. Man, ain't there something? They didn't want to hear that. So as I was thinking, I'm like, man, every knee and every tongue, one of these days, shall confess. I'm telling you, people don't realize that. That's true. All of us got to stand before God one day. And to say, you know, you don't want to hear that. This boxer, I don't know if you guys remember this boxer, when he won the championship, and he said, hey, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If it had not been for Jesus, I would have not won this championship. He said it where everybody can hear him. To us today, we should be telling people about the Lord. But one day they will. So let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you this night for another chance to talk about your word. Your word is so important to us. It's a light into our life that guides us and that keeps us. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to make it out this afternoon. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you for protecting us. And we ask that you protect those that didn't come out tonight. We ask you to continue to look over Brother Fox, continue to look over the elders of this congregation and the deacons as well. Father, we ask you to allow us to always keep you in front of us. We know the devil is pulling us in all directions. But Father, your darling son defeated him at that cross of Calvary. And this night we said, thank you, Lord. We said, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and for what you will do for us if we just stay in your arms and stay close to you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. As we look at Zechariah, and we kind of go back to Haggai. These men were telling them about rebuilding the temple. We know Solomon's temple was destroyed, and a lot of the captive was taken into Babylon. Jeremiah prophesied, Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah 29 and 10. Jeremiah had prophesied and said, God said you would go down into Babylon. You would have to be there for 70 years in captivity. So in the meantime, while they was there, God told them to settle down. Just take it easy. I'm there with you. So it's amazing that how God had his prophecies in the midst of Babylon, his word was still going on. His teaching was still going on. People were still hearing the word. So that tells me, I don't care what situation you may be in, and if God is the center of your life, I don't care what surrounding you may be in, man, listen. God's going to make a way out of no way. He's going to make a way out of no way. You can be somewhere that you just is uncomfortable. And knowing that God is in the center of all that, you can make it. They made it down in Babylon. But Cyrus gave them a way out to return home to Jerusalem. And when we look at Zechariah and look at Haggai, and you go back and read Ezra, Ezra will tell you about these two men. These men was in, when you look at the fact that here's Daniel down in Babylon, in captive. And here is some more of God people coming to Babylon. And how do we get there? How do we get to this point? We got to that point because we disobeyed God. The children of Israel disobeyed God. He gave them warning after warning after warning after warning. If you listen to me, these are the blessings. If you don't listen to me, here are the curses. Throughout the Bible, God kept telling them, this is the price you got to pay. There is no difference today. We want our own way. We want to do our own thing. And if we never look at the whole picture, there's a price that we have to pay someday. The devil will show us all of this beautiful stuff out in the world. This is what I have to offer you. And he shows you the curtain, but he never shows you the brick wall. You see? He shows you the stage of all of this beautiful stuff, but he never shows you the brick wall that is behind the curtains. But once you get there and the curtain goes up, you hit that brick wall, then what? One of my older son, and we'll get into the lesson, I've been talking with him about certain things in his life. I preached to him, and I said, this is what Dad is telling you. The mistakes that I made, I don't want you to make those same mistakes. I don't want you to make those same mistakes. If you do this, and if you turn your life over to Christ, this is the kind of life you will have. He didn't listen. Today he's paying for it. I haven't heard from him. As a father, that bothers me. The only way I hear from him is through his brother. I told him this is what would happen. Satan would take you down a dark alley and would never bring you out. I told him those things. And it was the same way with the children of Israel. God warned them. The surrounding neighbors. What they would do, they would turn your heart against me. God told Solomon about the strange women in chapter 11 of 1 Kings. All of these strange women, what they would do, they would turn your heart from me. God told Numbers chapter 14, if I'm right, God was telling that the men of age of 20 to 40 and over will not see the promised land because they was complaining. They was grumbling about certain things. And God said, you will not see the promised land, that you will all fall in the wilderness. God don't make mistakes. He won't make any mistakes. He never make any mistakes. Turn your Bibles to chapter 2 of Zechariah. Chapter 2 of Zechariah. Zechariah had a vision, 10 visions in one night. And when you look at Zechariah, Zechariah is talking about the coming of the Savior. In chapter 2, it says, Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what it is width and what it is length. And there was the angels who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming in to meet me, to meet him, who said to him, run and speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem should inhabit, Jerusalem should be inhabited as towns without walls, because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I said, the Lord will be a wall, a fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Someone pick up 6 there, from 6 to 10.
Thank you.
That's 10. Someone pick up from there. When we look at this, we look at Zechariah in chapter 2. Chapter 2, then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line is in. And behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. This young man referenced to Zechariah. Here the words may indicate that Zechariah was young when he began his ministry. Which Zechariah was young. He was younger than Haggai. And Zechariah began his ministry. And Jeremiah 1 and 6, town without walls. Jerusalem will have no need for defense fortification because God will be the wall. God would be the wall for Jerusalem. And we look at the safety that God provides for Israel, for Jerusalem. God present would guarantee it safety and security. These words reference ultimately the future Jerusalem under the rule of its glorious king, Zechariah. We'll get to that next time. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Zechariah's 520 BC introduction. Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. He was of a priestly descent, as was Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Josephus tells us that he was later slain in a temple, thus becoming a merit of Christ. He was a young contemporary of Haggai. See Haggai chapter 2, verse 4. Zechariah's writing resembled those of Daniel. Note also, Daniel was born in Palestine, but wrote his prophecy in Babylon. Zechariah was born in Babylon, but wrote his book in Palestine. Zechariah always reminded one of the books of Revelation. His books contained more Mosaical passage than any other minor prophet. He speaks of the following. A Christ as the branch, Zechariah 3, chapter 3, verse 8. B, Christ as servant, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. C, Christ as smitten shepherd, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. D, the triumph entrance, chapter 9, verse 9. The betrayal of the 30 pieces of silver. When you look at the book of Zechariah, it breaks down. Zechariah is talking about the betrayal of 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11 and 12 and 13, he talks about the piercing of Jesus' hand and feet. Zechariah 12 and 10, his return to Mount Olive, chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. The vision of the prophet, Zechariah 1 and 6, Zechariah received 10 visions, all apparently during the same night. Riders on the red horse, chapter 1, verse 7 through 17. One, Zechariah sees a heavenly rider on a red horse surrounded by other riders, all mounted also upon various colored horses. This special rider on the red horse probably Jesus. The other rioters are angels who have been sent by God to walk to and forth through the earth. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 10. This is comforting to know that God also has his spiritual spies out to watch over all of us. Stick with me. I want you to stick with me. I'm just kind of setting some up here. Spiritual angels, spies, checking up on this old sinful earth. So does Satan. So does Satan. In Job 1 and 7, and Job chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 2, verse 2. And 1 Peter tell us, 1 Peter 5 and 8, Satan like a roaring lion. And so Zechariah's writing here, it tells us about the Messiah. He was comforting the people who have returned from captivity from Babylon. He was comforting them and telling them, listen, there is a future hope. There is a future hope for you. All you have to do is wait and continue to do what you're doing for the Lord. Zechariah sees four animals' horns and is told that they represented four world powers that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. These horns may have symbolized the following. Now, let's get into this. Zechariah, Haggai, Jeremiah, Ezra, all of these men was in exile. And God began to speak to them and tell them, and we look at Haggai chapter 1 and chapter 2, God was telling them, listen, you have left my temple in ruin. I took from you. Your clothes had holes in them. You couldn't keep money in your pocket. Your crops did not grow well because you was concerning more about your earthly home than the ruin. My house set it in ruin. You see, here is God talking to these two men. This is what I want you to tell the captive, what I expect for them. I want them to build my house, but I want them to remember what has taken place with them, why they have lost so much, because for 16 years, my house set in ruin, you forgot all about me, so tell them this. But in spite of all that, God still blessed them. In spite of that, God still blessed them. Now, when you get into Zechariah and Haggai, they're prophesizing, but they're doing it differently. Haggai mostly talks about getting your priorities straight. And also, Zechariah said, get your priorities straight. But Zechariah's coming in a different direction. He talks about the coming of the Messiah. He talks about there is hope in the future. There is hope in the future. And when you look at it, even from the beginning of the first crew that went into captivity, God was at work then. Because they disobeyed the command of God and they refused to listen to God, then that came punishment upon them. 70 years they went into captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar. In the process of that, God touched the heart of Cyrus, Isaiah prophesied about Cyrus. Jeremiah talked about Cyrus. Cyrus was favored by God because he wanted his people to return home back to Jerusalem and to rebuild, start to rebuild their earthly place to worship. Today we are worshiping God in a spiritual building. We come together to worship him on Sunday, spiritually, right? Spiritually, we worship him spiritually. We no longer worship in a tabernacle or in a temple. We worship him in spirit and truth. Let me stop for a second. What would your life be like if you was way back there? Think about that. What would your life, you ever thought about what would your life would have been like if you was way back in those days? What they had back then, they had God carrying them. What we have today, we have the Savior carrying us. If you think about all that they went through back then, disobeying, refused to listen, man, you would think that all of that stuff happened back then and we knew about it, we read about it, you would think that we would act better today. You would think so, wouldn't we? We'll be a better people today, wouldn't we? We would be a very better, it just, for whatever reason, we read this, we skip over this, and we said, look at all that the children of Israel went through. Look at all the, look what happened to them. Look what happened to them. They was taken into captivity. A lot of them died in the wilderness. And you would say, man, I'm going to live a better life. But what happened? We ignore these things and say that happened to them. It won't happen to us. But God never changed. God never changed. What happened to them back then, what happened to us today. Zechariah told the people that the coming of Christ, the Messiah, he talked about the Messiah coming. God always have somebody to tell us something about Christ. Have you ever had someone to come up and tell you about Christ and you ignore that person? Or you didn't listen to that person? And God send that person to you to tell you something, the way you're living, the way you're behaving, and you ignore that person? Then in the long run, you find out, why did this happen to me? Because the Bible said, watch how you entertain an angel, because you never know. You just never know who's coming to tell you something and help you along the way. And when we look at Zechariah, and when we look at Zechariah and Haggai, and when we look at them prophesying the word of God, Haggai encouraged the people. It encouraged the people and its leader to rebuild the Lord's temple. They lived in this beautiful home while the Lord's house remained in ruin. And Haggai, God had given the Jews rules to live by, but they failed to obey his command. God gave them assignment to finish the temple in Jerusalem when they returned from captivity. After 15, 16 years, they still had not completed it. Zechariah also was telling them about the temple and encouraged them, listen, get it together because there's a brighter and a better day that is coming your way. Why is it that we hesitate to believe, we get all bogged down in this, the cares of the world? We let the cares of the world block out everything that God wants for us. Our thoughts and our mind is over here while Satan is still trying to destroy us over here. He did it to Israel, and we are no different. He would do it to us. When God asked Satan, what are you doing? He said, I'm walking to and fro. He was after Job. But all that Job went through, Job said, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. You see, we're going to go through something. A lot of us may be in captive right now, don't even know it. We may be in captive to this. You hear me? To this. This, let me tell you something. This thing right here will destroy a Christian. You may not believe it, but it will destroy you. This cell phone will destroy you. You can go through it and you can start looking at it and you go to reading stuff. People send you stuff. And guess what? You find yourself in this instead of being in this. It will destroy you. Not only will this destroy you, what else would destroy us, call us to be in captivity? Things we haven't taken care of in our past. That may be some old stuff in our past that we haven't let go and we are still bound in captivity. We have to let that thing go in order for us to move forward. It would destroy us. God made a way for us to come out of captivity. We don't have to stay in captivity. He made a way. Jesus, he made that way for us. A lot of Christians today find themselves wavering, don't understand why certain things have happened to them. If they read the book of Haggai and see that their priority, that God told them, tell my people that their priority is off, their priority is not right. When you look and see that if your priority in God is not right, then listen, there's a lot of blessing that we miss out on because we still held captive in our own mind. Zechariah prophesying about the measuring line. He was telling us the comfort that God would give to us. I will be the glory, the word drive to us. The vision of the new Jerusalem, Revelation 21:1-3. Although Babylon was east of Israel, traveling typically followed the Euphrates River and approached Israel from the north. Whatever way that the Israel was traveling, God was with them traveling. Whatever way that they were traveling, God was with them. My point that I'm making here is Zechariah. He was telling the future coming. He was telling us the future of Christ coming. His book focused more on Christ than the book of Haggai. His book of vision almost reminds you of the book of Daniel. As we begin to get into it, you're going to see that Zechariah talked about the piercing. He talked about the 30 pieces of silver. He talked about Jesus riding on the donkey. You're saying, wow. He prophesied that. Back then, he was prophesying the new Jerusalem. He was prophesying that Jesus would soon, someday, come. He was telling the Israel, Jerusalem, and Judah, just hold tight. Hold tight because Christ, one day the Redeemer will show up and we will live forever. We won't have to worry about nothing no more. That's what he was telling. He was talking about the future. The future. Just hold on. I'll be there. He talked about the branch. He talked about the suffering of Christ. As we get into that, you will see all of these things Zacharias talked about. It's amazing that how God used people to set the stage for the future. You said, well, why do we worry about even reading about the Old Testament? Why do we even bother about it? Romans 15:4 says what? Things what that was written. Let's go there. Let's go there. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things was written before was written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, may have hope. So what are we doing? We're reading things that happened back then, but it's still teaching us, listen, through all of this, we have hope. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's go there. Sixteen and 17 tell us, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God, and this is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, God wants us to know these things. God wants us to learn these things because why? He wants us to learn those things to be, listen, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. That's why it's so important that we read the Old Testament so we get a glimpse of the New Testament, so we get a glimpse of what Jesus came and died for us. We have hope. We have hope. We have a spiritual temple that we come together to worship God in spirit and truth together. We're no longer in a temple. We come together to worship him. We are spiritual. We're in the spiritual. We worship God together. And when we get a glimpse, of what we are doing, really get a glimpse of what we are doing. Sometimes we skip over the Old Testament, and there's a lot of meat there for us. There's a lot of meat in the Old Testament for us because it helps us to really understand the New Testament. Because when you begin to read, it's all about Jesus. Hebrews 10 and 7 said, "Hey, I came. What? Let's go there." Do anybody have that? Read it if anybody have that.
Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will.
Volume is what that? 10 and 7?
Yes.
A volume of the book? Was it? 10, I'm sorry, Hebrews, yeah, Hebrews 10 and 7. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Was it? Okay. Okay. Well, Jesus said, I've come in the volume. Jesus have always been here. He have always been here. And for him to die on the cross for such cruel and people who have bad behavior and who are stiff-necked and who don't want to live right or do right. Do you know that took, that takes a lot of love, man. That takes a lot of love. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for he gave his only begotten son. That takes a lot of love. And listen to this. That same love that sent Jesus to the cross, that same love should be embedded in our hearts so deeply. So deeply. We shouldn't have no hate in our heart for none of our brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, that's that. We shouldn't. We shouldn't have no animosity. We shouldn't have no bitterness, because why? Jesus came down through time to make a way for all of us. In spite of our faults and failures, he forgives us. He wants us to forgive each other. He wants us to love each other. And why is it in the church that we have a hard time to forgive and to love? That's hard for a lot of us. But you know what? For me, it's like this. You can hate Brother Hobbs all you want to, but I'm going to love on you. I want to see Jesus. I'm going to love on you because I want to see Jesus. All that Jesus have done for us, and all, when you look back and see the foolishness of Israel, what they did, man, you want to live right. In my teenage years, I lived crazy and could have died out there. Because of his grace and his mercy, he allowed me to stand here today before you. Wow, I'm telling you. So Zechariah was telling us about the future coming of the King Jesus. And next time that we get together, we're going to get more into the vision. But I'm just kind of giving you the surface of what we are looking into, because the book of Zechariah in detail a lot of things about the coming of Christ. And you have to look at it, read it, and look at it and find out how Zechariah pinpoint Jesus. And when we finish reading that, we go to Malachi and you find out, man, wow, everything is lining up. It's just like a puzzle. Bam! It's just like a roadmap. Everything lined up from Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. And when we really get this thing clear in our head, it's all about Jesus, we can really move forward as a church. What we're going to do next time we meet, we're going to go back over read chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Start reading it now, and then we're going to all go back over the scriptures, and we're going to have a spiritual fight. How's that? We have a spiritual fight, and we'll dissect these. We'll go over a lot of these. It's a lot of stuff that I have, but time won't permit me to really get into it, okay? So Lord's willing, next time Brother Fox allow me to get up here, we'll get more deep into that. And once we finish Zechariah, remember I told you it can be like a rocking chair. Once we finish Zechariah, we're going to go into Ezra and sort of get a pinpoint how things really begin to start focusing. We'll read Ezra and Nehemiah, okay? All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach our throne again,